The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day! The first drink of the day!
Houston, we have a problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast.
What's he doing?
I don't know. I don't know.
I think he's talking about Stu. Dan's here again.
Yeah, Dan seems to have carved a niche for himself as a man who starts the show in bizarre circumstances.
Exactly, because he's just ordered a steak sandwich.
He has.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he's moved the condiments out of the way, which is very kind of him. Right, Dan Ferdinand's here, as you've probably already heard. Jim Staples is here, as you've already heard. Michael Coxon's here.
Mm. mouthful of beer.
Mouthful of beer. And Stuart Hoare is here.
Afternoon.
And we'll kick off with a question that we touched upon last week, but we'll actually go for answers this week. If you can improve football by taking one rule from another sport, what rule would you adopt and why? Mike has got his hand up.
Steel cage matches. Definitely.
Okay.
Or failing that, sin bins.
How would you implement steel cage matches?
Just literally, at some point, it just drops down.
Well, like a Nike advert.
Well, I'm thinking more going back to the 80s. No, I'm not really. Like the Nike advert, but with steel chairs as well, and tables, and maybe Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Maybe even the Berserker.
I'll be honest, he's got a really bad back, so.
Yeah.
It's a no from him.
Well, maybe the sin bin then.
Sin bin.
I think 5 minutes.
So what sort of offence?
I think worse than a yellow card, but when it's not quite a red card, I think.
Okay. Did anyone watch the rugby at the weekend?
No.
Yes.
On Get Out. Trick question.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, was it any good?
Canary. No, it was absolutely horrific.
Someone got Simbin as well, didn't they?
Yes, for shouting at the touch judge.
What did they say to him?
I thought he threw the ball away.
And shouted at the touch judge. Yeah. They weren't really throwing the ball away.
There'll be a lot of sin bins.
Your private school's a lot worse than mine.
Nah, he didn't have a Northern accent, mate.
That's true.
Go on, shoot.
The review system they use in cricket, you can review the decision.
Oh, Stu, that's mine. It's Hawkeye.
That's slightly different. I mean, there is the Hawkeye's.
Hawkeye's from Goal Line Technology. The review system is different, isn't it?
I'm going for the review system. Two reviews a game.
So a manager can do it.
Yeah, he can say actually
what?
Bollocks.
Any decision or what sort of decisions are we talking about here?
I'm not a throw-in.
Rules, am I?
And how do you do it?
They do what they want, but that's the one I want.
You can't do penalties because a lot of them can be subjective.
The thing is, what would you do as well with time wasting? Because I can imagine towards the end of games, managers doing it like foul throws and stuff.
Yeah.
you could do an automatic add-on 30 seconds, like of a sub.
Yeah.
You automatically add on.
Because refs always do that, don't they?
At least 30 seconds or whatever.
Depends what ground you're at.
No, I quite like that, Stu.
Depends what the score is.
I do quite like that.
Yeah. Alright, so touch upon this Hawkeye idea.
Hawkeye, right, yeah, well, it's actually one of the 10 methods that FIFA, the muppets that FIFA are looking into. They said it doesn't work, but Hawkeye's excuse or answer for that is they've never actually tested it in a stadium.
FIFA aren't coming for dinner either, are they, Dan? But
I've done FIFA, So it would be pretty cool. Fundamentally, I think the technology would almost certainly work. I don't know because I don't work there. But the biggest and the best thing about having Hawkeye would be when the judgment came on the big screen, you'd get that.
Oh, yeah.
As the ball dropped down, and then obviously
and then cheers or
groans. Inevitably, one half of the ground would be going,
yeah. And Cardiff fans would just be jumping off. We'll get there. As you're talking about Hawkeye, did you see the Wickham goal?
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Gareth Ainsworth.
Controversial.
He scored at the weekend, but he didn't really score. Yeah. We might as well talk about it now. It's in the right section.
It was a brilliant save.
Header, really good save from the keeper, on the line. Got up, grabbed the ball. Linesman had given a goal. You can tell by the naked eye that he's nowhere near over the line. Ainsworth didn't celebrate. He was just like shrugging his shoulders to say, oh, I'm sorry about that. Obviously, goalkeeper's gone mental, but it was like, you don't even need touchline technology.
Grant Turner, the Shrewsbury manager, said, we've been robbed by linesman's decision. He couldn't have possibly seen it. We've got a camera behind the goal. We've got freeze frame, and it was not on the line, let alone over it.
It was crazy.
The goalkeeper's body would have been between the ball and the linesman. It was blatantly not a goal.
Sorry.
Serves Graham Turner.
Sorry.
being a traitorous bastard.
He says after looking at it on a replay.
Yeah, but it was so clear.
That may be the case, but you can't really go, watch the replay. Well, yeah, but no. The ref didn't have it.
On first line. Viewing on the Football League show, you think, what a save that is.
So again, I was well aware.
And then the whistle blows, goal.
Yeah. Another thing that happened as well, did you see the Bellamy incident, where it was a great tackle by Peirce, and it was a good tackle, but the referee gave a penalty, and then...
I was so happy when he rescinded that penalty. Yeah, it was hilarious. So
he's given a penalty, then he's seen walking away, and he's like he's talking to someone in his ear. So
the lines were not.
No, apparently it was a fourth official.
Because he was looking the way of the fourth official.
But how can, they got to a right decision in the end, because it is a good tackle. I'll show you it to you. Right, it's a good tackle, he's given a penalty, and then the fourth official, he's on the halfway line, no?
Mm.
It's not like he's one of those stupid little pissy linesmen. But he's the linesman, the fourth official from the halfway line.
Has said, no, it isn't.
So, has he seen that from that far out, or has he watched the video? If he has, then that's the first instance
I'm almost
of
certainly
video
watched
replay.
The video. Yeah.
So that is them using video replay.
Yeah, but they'll never come out and do an interview after the game, so we'll never know.
Yeah,
but you could see him, he's doing that, unless he's talking to someone else about his shopping.
He turns around and looks at the fourth official.
Yeah.
See, that's where the fourth official could be more use. He could look at things like that and say straight away.
The whole thing about football is because there is these sort of debates and there is fuck ups, and sometimes like at the weekend at the weekend they got it right because it was a bad decision and it proved a right decision, but for me that should have been a penalty to Cardiff because that's how the ref's seen it, and that's the game's always been played like that.
This is true.
The refs will get stuff wrong, the same as a player will miss a penalty and get stuff wrong.
Right, tell us about the rule you bring in.
I actually mentioned this to you. I was watching the rugby England Scotland, and the ref went off injured.
Yeah.
So he did his groin or something. It looked pretty nasty. He went off injured, and then it spent about 5 minutes. They had to get their fourth official onto the pitch. The play started again, and it was a scrum with England's put in. And as he was doing it, I was just like, I don't watch any rugby. My housemate was with me. He plays rugby. He is massive, and he's a massive, massive rugby fan. And he was like, what? This is weird. This is right weird. And I was like, yeah. What's different here? The reason was because the ref wasn't mic'd up. When you watch rugby, the ref is always mic'd up. Because they did a quick change around, it took them 10 minutes to mic the ref up. And watching rugby was strained. Without hearing that, you can hear the ref talking, the scrum talking, the captains. I say mic up the Premiership refs.
I don't think that's allowed.
It's not allowed. It's not allowed.
On the premise of Wayne Rooney.
Exactly.
And others.
But you need someone with the bleep machine for when they get on the mic.
Okay, but tell me the downside of mic'ing up a ref.
No, of course not. I can't see any
downside.
It's
comedy gold. The players would have to.
All matches have to be after 9 p.m.
But I mean, if you start fining players, a player has to give 5% of his wages every time he's heard on mic swearing. I think Ellery did it. David Ellery did it after some show.
I was talking to you about this.
And they Tony Adams calls him all sorts of names, bleeping it out. Then Tony Adams calls him a cheat, and he goes mental.
It'd be good if they did have to play games after 9 p.m. because Jack Wilshere, it's past his bedtime. So that's him gone. But I'd go one further from that England-Scotland game, because if you remember, before the match there was a fox on the pitch running around. I'd unleash a wild animal every game onto the pitch.
A lion just sprinted out
on the pitch at Loftus Road.
Your idea about the steel cage, see, when the goal that was given that wasn't in, then obviously the goalkeeper's gone mad. That's the point, you drop the cage and then the lion
goalkeeper
and the goalkeeper battle it out, and then the winner decides whether it was a penalty or not.
And because that had encouraged Premiership teams to sign professional wrestlers to play for them. So if you've got an odd player, just one, stick him in the cage.
Gillingham just
use
Akinfenwa, he'd be fine.
Gillingham are using Akinfenwa.
It's basically
Manchester
celebrity
United
deathmatch.
Are using The Undertaker.
Oh dear. My one I would bring in is retrospective punishment. It happens a lot in rugby. You can cite players afterwards. I think you should do that. You'd have to set the ground rules out as to what things.
You can do it now.
You can and you can't. You can only do it if the ref has to take an action on the field.
Exactly.
I think, irrespective of whether the ref... You have to take into account the ref on the day decides what happens.
Did Rooney get punished when that Wigan player walked into his elbow?
No,
because he did walk into
the ref
his elbow.
Yeah.
It was
self-defence.
And Jamie Carragher got away with his lunge on
that
the
That was a good
well.
Tackle. That was a very good tackle.
But
Johnny Evans didn't get away with his lunge on Stuart Holden.
No, and poor Stuart Holden's out for 6 months.
Stuart Holden was on the wrong end of his lunge on Johnny Evans.
He just keeps... Yeah, they both did go in.
They went in.
Yeah. But he's an unlucky bastard, that Holden, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's been done about three times.
He's a great player as well.
He's very good.
Wait, you know what I mean?
He's good. But, right, okay. Going on to the last week, obviously we just spoke about the controversy in League Two. We've had the Football League Awards.
Well, sorry, can I just say it's a disgrace? There's still games left. How can you do the
I think it must be the calendar year, and they've just taken that long to get a date. Maybe they couldn't afford a date near New Year. Right. It's all very expensive, isn't it? So maybe the Football League.
It's ridiculous the way Football Awards, like the PFA Awards, will be in April.
Yeah, it's not.
It should be.
When do we do our pubbies?
At the end of the calendar year.
Christmas, when we've got bugger all else to talk about.
Exactly.
When there are no games on.
When we can stay in the pub longer and drink more.
But the Football League Awards, let's quickly run you down. The Football League Player of the Year, League Two, was Berry's Ryan Lowe.
Don't run me Great down, sense. I'll do you for retrospective punishment. Send you outside.
League One was Peterborough's Craig McHale Smith.
What about the Championship?
Championship was Adel Tarapt of QPR.
Yep.
The three best players in each of their respective divisions.
Yeah. Mitre Goal of the Year was Dean Furman of Oldham. I disagree. Go on the BBC website. Ricky Lambert should have won that. Absolutely amazing goal he scored.
Did you see Sinclair's goal of the weekend? Sinclair.
He scored a few decent ones.
Did you see Travis Sinclair's goal about 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Stuart didn't. 15 years ago.
Stuart was in Boston.
He did see a great episode of Super Ted though, that
possibly.
Stuart was still in potty training back then. Contribution to league football, mirroring our Lifetime Achievement Award, Dario Gradi.
Hey,
good to
like
see
Dario.
The Football League following the podcast lead there.
Why?
For just being a fantastic coach, bringing so many good young players through.
Dario Gradi managed them for 20 odd years, got them into the championship.
Dario Gradi
crew were a small club,
a lot of great players.
Their academy is unparalleled.
Who would you have given it to?
Poor at best. I wouldn't give it to anyone. I think it's a disgraceful league.
He would have given it to Arsene.
Yeah, football league young player of the year, Connor Wickham.
Yes, young player of the year, Connor Wickham, very good player.
Apprentice of the year, we won't bother with. Outstanding team performance was Stevenage's FA Cup win over Newcastle. Family club of the year was Cardiff.
They just beat
out Millwall.
Family club of the year.
20,000 fans a week and they're all related.
Yeah. Community. I didn't expect it to get that much.
That's amazing.
Community club of the year was Southend United, and PFA player in the community was Big Darren Moore of Burton Albion. But yeah,
AK Dan Ferdinand.
Can we just go back to Stevenage? I think they potentially might be in a little bit of trouble for players get feigning injury about halfway through each half, or at least the first.
Really?
So the manager can talk tactics with the other players.
Fair
it was
enough.
In the paper on the weekend.
That's Graham Wesley. He knows what he's doing, Graham.
Yeah, very clever. Blindingly clever idea. Yeah.
Get down.
Can we go back to Cardiff City and also the subject of getting down? if you're going to fall 30 feet while celebrating, the last place you want to land is in between a load of Millwall fans.
This is where your lower league knowledge is not really up to standard. It's a completely disused bottom tier. You still
disused, was it? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I missed that.
Explain what happened, Jim.
Basically, Cardiff went 3-2 up with about 5-6 minutes left. All the Cardiff fans go mental. And you can laugh because all he's done. Well, actually.
He only had minor injuries.
Yeah, well.
He's alright, is he?
No. Oh. Football League Show said 2 broken ribs. The Mirror has said that he's broken fingers. The Sun has probably said that he's broken his face. If all of these are true, he's proper fucked. But I think the official stance
is
fingers.
Minor injuries.
Yeah,
right,
minor injuries.
Did they just see like x-rays of sort of long things and not know if they were ribs or fingers or penis?
You say that about the Sun, but this is the paper that before the Liverpool Man United game said that Peter Beardsley had played for both.
He has.
And put a little picture.
He has.
When did he play for United?
One appearance for United to start his career in the League Cup.
I looked in Wikipedia.
Yeah,
he was there.
He played in the League Cup. He was at Vancouver Whitecaps, then he went to United.
And that, Stuart, is why you don't trust Wikipedia.
There's a Sharp Electronics shirt. Look it up.
I feel we may have digressed from the poor Cardiff fan that is now sitting
with a stupid grip on his hand.
Cardiff scored the third goal. He was at the front of the top tier celebrating and fell over.
Jesus.
Fell off the stand.
Fell over the stand.
And of course, all the Millwall fans were deadly silent.
Yeah.
To check he was alright.
God bless them. They should have won the
family club.
But on a serious front, that would have been shocking. And some of the players, like Olaf Njani, has come out. Bellamy said he felt physically sick by it. They're celebrating, and suddenly there's a big tip. Have you been to the New Den? It sticks out. It's a very, very harsh drop. And to see a fan just drop would have just been incredible.
Yeah, he's lucky he didn't pay himself on a seat.
So sorry, the Cardiff players were celebrating in front of that stand as well.
And a man fell off the stand.
Yeah. So a few of the players, not all of them.
It would have been better if he jumped up and ran onto the pitch to celebrate with them.
But it doesn't do anything for the Welsh stereotype of them being a little bit dim, does it? He's run to the bottom of the stand, forgotten that there's a terrace, and then a massive drop.
You live with one, so you better know
better. Exactly, yeah.
I'm surprised they weren't in.
Other stuff that happened last week, we had the Champions League draw for the quarterfinals and the semi-finals. So the first semi-final will be between the winners of Inter Milan versus Schalke and the winners of Chelsea and Manchester United.
Come on.
Dan's yawning because Arsenal got pinged down.
Dan's yawning because the main Arsenal news was not who they've joined in the Champions League, it's that they've re-signed Jens Lehmann. Big news.
Oh, yeah.
Silence from Dan Ferdinand.
Well, when we're lifting a trophy, you won't think it's such.
Let's hope Lehmann's not lifting it. He'll drop it.
Family club of the year.
Yeah, the other semi-final, he says, clawing it back, is between the winners of Real Madrid and Spurs.
Looking forward to that. Kate's
going to be in London.
I'm looking forward to that.
And Barcelona and Shakhtar Donetsk.
So see, Ronaldo might be out of the Spurs game now.
Don't think it really matters.
What's he done to himself?
3 weeks out injured yesterday.
Ronaldo has a tendency of getting himself back very quickly.
Yeah, they won 2-1 against Atletico. He re-aggravated an old injury, apparently. Yeah.
If there's one thing he'll love, it's showing off in front of English fans again.
Yeah.
David Luiz, did you see him doing his little Ronaldo stance yesterday on the left wing?
Yeah.
He's a player, isn't he?
He's a good player.
He's a boy.
Got a great haircut.
Yes.
I think it was
him and Fellaini need to be.
I think
the
it was the Mirror on Twitter saying that they hope to God he has Kelsey Grammer's voice.
It was. It was
to make it even more exciting.
Did you not hear his interview afterwards?
It was a brilliant interview.
He can't speak any English. Not anything against him. He's
Portuguese.
And the problem is they put Mark Messi in next to him, who doesn't speak Portuguese.
Oh, so fantastic! It's like, absolutely fantastic.
Michael Essien was
Chelsea at their best.
Michael Essien was a guest on the show the other week, so maybe we could ask him what his thoughts.
Essien went straight off that interview for a nice sleep.
And yeah, did as well, yeah,
and then
he knows
just fucking lettuce, can I have you off?
But it was a good interview. After about a minute, they just realised we're getting nothing out of it. They gave me champagne and told me to fuck off.
I'd love it if Jess Reeves went, "Here's your champagne now, fuck off." Back to you in the studio.
Right, anything else we spotted this weekend?
Matty Jarvis in the England squad.
Yeah.
Proper lower league footballer, coming through the ranks, doing well in the Premier League.
Scoring a great goal at the weekend as well.
It's going back to the time, because I mean, we've had Chris Smalling in there recently. Matty Jarvis, it's going back to the days like Ian Wright when he was in there, played lower league.
So I just hope he gets a chance.
For Dan Fernand, I know he was mocking the Football League just to sort of get a cheap laugh, but there's some of your future England players there.
Jay Bothroyd's been in there.
He's shit, though.
But he's lower league.
Carl Walker.
He's a good player.
He absolutely smashed it around.
Well, let's be honest, you can't defend worse than Glenn Johnson.
No.
And what's the view round the table about John Terry getting a captaincy back?
Colton Palmer should have the captaincy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
I've always supported Capello, but I think it is just the way it's been handled is just poor. And apparently a lot of it is to do with some of John Terry's close friends in the press.
Right.
But it's just,
I think,
a silly situation.
If you were at the Millennium Stadium on Saturday evening when Cardiff fans are jumping off the top tier and singing Bread of Heaven, and the passion's there, and we need someone to stand up, John Terry's the one I want standing up in the dressing room, thumping his chest and giving it all
really?
Of that.
Well,
on the pitch.
Rio Ferdinand can't be in the captain because he's too injured. Right, love Rio, but
who's your captain Saturday, Dan? If not John Terry, who's your captain? And why?
Honest truth is, I think I said it when we did the show at the start of the season. For me, after the World Cup, they should have made Rooney captain for two reasons. One, he's your present, but also he's your future. He could potentially be your captain for 10 years.
But Rooney's got the capacity to just completely fly off the handle, track someone back after he's lost the ball, and kick him up in the air.
When he has the responsibility, Terry tends to be a bit calm.
He might calm him down a bit, if anything.
For me, it would have been Rooney. I think,
but I don't.
John Terry's indiscretions go more than just husband and wife. It's against a teammate.
Yeah. John Terry. Okay, but
and he also in the World Cup he also broke a
watch. It's a footballing thing. Well, for 90 minutes, it's a footballing thing.
No, it's not.
Wayne Rooney
hasn't been.
Wayne Rooney's not.
Drop him. You can't make him captain. How can men? How can you be a leader of men in a dressing room?
Because for 90 minutes, it's all about
when
football.
You're willing to mug over your own man.
I think you need to have the respect. If he's got the respect of the guys on the dressing room, then that's one thing. I'm not convinced he has. We don't know.
So
I think he's the only legitimate England captain.
I'm not watching any England football.
You've said this. He said he won't watch the Euros. If England play France in the Euro final, he won't watch it.
No.
He'll switch off.
Yeah, but to be honest, it'll be on a Sunday and there's every chance there'll be a pay-per-view, probably King of the Ring or something at that point. So,
thank you very much.
You know,
FA Trophy final.
Oh, good shout.
Darlington v Mansfield. Both had their second legs.
I was gutted Gates, I did make it.
Yeah, I know. I wanted Darlington to go through. Because Darlington and Mansfield have both had some tough times. They're both in mid-table in the Conference Premier as well. They're both going out to Wembley as well.
But that's it for me. FA Trophy is about propping on league clubs and they're both fairly big former league clubs. Mm. I just wanted to see you people like your Gates said. I mean, I remember Vicks getting there and losing to Macclesfield and getting my
it's another fantastic competition. I know it doesn't get
but
much publicity.
It's great that they
like
get
that.
To play at 7th of May venue like Wembley.
Yeah, 7th of May at Wembley.
I've been there for when Eusebio beat Torquay about 3-4 years ago. Great occasion. It's about,
I urge anyone,
it's about 40,000.
That's just what I was going to say. If you're a fan of a Premier League team like Arsenal or Spurs and you can't get a ticket to anywhere, spend 20-30 quid on what it'll be, have a day at Wembley and go and watch those two teams. It'll be absolutely fantastic.
I've been to Wembley for Community Shield and it's a rubbish down because nobody cares, but if you go to them, it's going to be two teams, proper best day of their life.
Yeah. Who are we going to support if we go?
Well, depending on how many of us there are, we split it in half. Some of us going one end, some of us going the other.
I'm taking two and a half in one end.
I quite like Darlington just because of Mark and Gabby Adine. To be fair though,
Mansfield, I mean, it's Midlands, it's hardly southern, is it?
Yeah. Now, Phil, me and my brother lived in Mansfield not that long
ago. Well, I used to live up in Durham, just down the road from Darlow, so I'll be...
All right, well, we'll investigate a bit more. Jim, I'll leave that with you, mate.
I'll look into tickets, don't worry about it.
Right, we'll move on to the Pubcast 11. Last week, we nominated our centre midfielders, the modern-day centre midfielders. The results, in reverse order, with 10% of the vote, due largely to the fact that he didn't have a highlights video, because he hasn't got any highlights, is Claude Makélélé.
There was loads of videos. I looked videos of him doing ollies, twirls, keepy uppies. You just didn't put it in because you didn't want him to win. Typical.
Okay, show me those bids and I'll put them on the site. In fourth position, with 19% of the vote was Xabi Alonso.
See,
this was very close vote actually.
19%. That's quite. Yeah. That's quite a decent.
Just 2% ahead of him on 21 was Paul Scholes.
No, come on! I wanted all the midfield. Yeah.
Just 1% in front of him on 22% was Wesley Schneider, which means that the man who occupies the spot in the middle of the park is Mr. Hawes Xabi.
Yes.
Xabi Hernandez with 28%. Good close vote though. Other than Makélélé, you've got bugger on. It was quite close. But this week we're looking at the centre forwards. And what we're going to do, we're going to have a legend and a current player like we did last time. This week it's legends time. Mike, do you want to kick us off with your nomination for the striker legend?
Diego Armando Maradona.
Fair player.
To be honest,
midfielder.
Fair enough.
Could just say that.
Midfielder.
He played second striker, he's number 10.
Yeah. Brilliant player.
Yeah.
91 caps, 34 goals.
I think he's brilliant.
Is he any good?
He's alright. Yeah. Argentinos Juniors, Boca Juniors, Barcelona, Napoli, Sevilla, Newell's Old Boys. Mm. Basically, quite a few clubs that have some sort of relation to aging.
Who would you say was his club? Like his domestic
Napoli.
Club. I'd say Napoli as well for me.
Napoli, he took a very...
No?
Boca Juniors, what do you mean?
He was Boca Juniors.
When you think of him as a player, who do you think of him as a so you think Shearer, you think Newcastle, King, it's Man United.
He single-handedly won
played
Napoli.
I'd say Napoli and Boca are the two, but I'd say Napoli personally. Interesting, could have been Sheffield United. They had a £180,000 bid turned down by Argentinos Juniors in the late 70s.
They left us zero off, didn't they?
He wanted to go as well. He wanted to come and play in England, but
wanted
they said no.
He said, all my life I wanted to play at Bramall Lane.
That was at the time that Ricky Villa and Ozzy Ardiles were going over.
Yeah.
Is that Sheffield United signed Sean Bean instead, didn't they?
I think they did. And they
did very well for him.
They then beat United
a good pen.
FA Cup. Yeah.
Great pen.
So, yeah. But no, I mean, there's a lot you can go on about Maradona. There's the titles, two Serie A titles with the unfancied Napoli, UEFA Cups,
Coke
World
Ed.
Cup winner and captain, Cokehead.
Not allowed back in Italy.
Is he banned from the whole country?
If he turns up in Italy, then the tax authorities will take pretty much everything he owns off.
Fantastic.
Illegitimate child, friends with Cesar Chavez and Fidel Castro. Yeah. FIFA player of the century.
He's the dodgiest slimmer in the world as well.
Yeah.
Firm Britain's got nothing on Maradona. He was a fat git one day.
And he's what's it called? And is the father-in-law of the Kun?
Yeah. Kun Aguero.
Yeah, he's the father-in-law of Jim Staples. the Kun. Sergio Aguero. Sergio Aguero, yeah. And Sergio Aguero's kid is going to be something special.
Yeah, he is.
But all you've got to say is that goal in 86.
Yeah.
And that scream and to the camera in 94. And
cool.
Maradona.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm gonna do mine next. This lad was born in Utrecht on October 31st, 1964.
Reggie Blinker.
He's the best finisher I have ever seen in my life. Marco van Basten.
I thought you were gonna say Ben Helder.
You want to talk goal scorer? This bloke's got a lot. 133 games for Ajax, 128 goals, 147 games in Serie A when the Italian league was the best league on the planet by distance. 90 goals in 147 games. That's 218 goals in 280 games at club level in his career. 24 of 58 for Holland. But he didn't just score loads of goals, he scored brilliant goals.
He did get a few decent goals.
He got a lot of decent goals. He was the first player to hit 4 goals in a Champions League game. That was probably enough as a stat. But one of those goals is one of the best bicycle kicks you'll ever see.
Not as good as Trevor Sinclair's.
There you go.
He scored bicycle kicks with monotonous regularity, and his technique
just gets boring after a while, doesn't it? Like, what's the point?
His honours are
unbelievable. Oh, nice on Van Basten. Another overhead kick from 30 yards.
Can't we have a tap in this week?
Yeah. Show pony. One trick pony.
Van Nistelrooy could have done that, but he chose not to.
Yeah. No, he chose to just tap him in from a yacht. Yeah. 6 league titles.
Sorry, Dan, have I supported your podcast legend's nomination there by saying Van Nistelrooy?
Yeah.
Sorry, mate.
Six league titles, 6 domestic cups. He's won the European Cup twice, Cup Winners' Cup once, Intercontinental Cup twice, and European Super Cup twice. But as a player, he's won 33 top level personal honours, sort of European Footballer of the Year, World Footballer of the Year, Golden Boots, all that sort of stuff. 33 different honours. I won't list them all.
That's a big old trophy cabinet.
He's got no room for passion in
no
the trophy
room
cabinet. It's all flipping material in there, all trophies. He was the spearhead of the greatest AC Milan side of all time, the one in the early 90s. They went 58 games undefeated over 2 seasons, and he was the main man. And obviously for Holland, he scored the hat trick against England in Euro 88, scored one of the greatest international goals of all time.
Stu wasn't impressed with that. Said hat trick against England.
He's the last player to score a hat trick against England. But his goal against the USSR in the final, Euro 88, is one of the greatest volleys I've ever seen. And if you haven't seen it, Stu, get on YouTube. In fact, don't. Go on the podcast website because you'll see it on there.
Decent angle. Decent angle, Stu. I've got to give
He did all of this.
I don't know. That's a debate. Is it better than Zidane's in the Champions League?
Yeah, because Zidane was in the middle of the goal. He did this from a stupendous angle.
He was at the front post.
He was at the back
side. It was a lot tighter, Van Basten.
And he had to smack it over the then best goalkeeper in the world, Rinat Dasa.
I think it was a cross.
Well. Yeah, nice one.
I think it's a dodgy cross.
But he did all of this before he was 30, because he retired at age 30. He had a recurring ankle problem pretty much the day he signed for AC Milan, and that ankle problem just got worse and worse and worse. Ended up retiring as he was 30. Best finisher I've ever seen in my lifetime, and for that he gets in any team I can think of, so he's my man, Marco van Basten.
Just think, if that ankle injury hadn't hampered him, he could have been as good as Gabriel Batistuta, which is my nomination. He could have been Gabriel Batistuta.
Could he now?
He looked like an angry caveman. Dan's looking at me a little bit angry now. What's your problem with Batistuta? 56 goals in 78 games for Argentina.
Yeah.
Now, that is not a bad stat considering it's the modern day era when there's no international games that are easy and all that sort of stuff.
But half of them against Venezuela or Bolivia.
Yeah, your Maradona stats, half of them are made up and the other half.
Half of them were on the chalk, though.
Exactly.
Go on.
But I mean, 246 goals in 414 domestic games as well.
Yeah.
When I think of him, what do you think of when I say Batistuta? What's your immediate thought?
Nodding when Beckham gets sent off.
Good.
Headband.
Yes, I liked him for his headband. Dan?
I'll tell you something else. When he was in the Argentinian national team, and was it Daniel Passarella took over as manager?
Yeah.
He insisted everyone get their hair cut because he didn't like individuality. Short hair, short backside to everyone. Batistuta was the last player to get his hair cut. He had a little bit off, but he basically...
I'd have him in my team if he had a perm. He was absolutely amazing. He just used to thump goals in.
Yeah.
When I remember, it synopsises football Italia for me. In the mid-90s, I used to play football in the morning, come back, and that was when like James Richardson was on there, had the old goal, that show, and that sort of stuff. Yeah. And it was just him in his Fiorentina shirt, that little purple number.
Yeah.
He was banging him in. And then in 1998, against, I think, who did he score a hat-trick against? Jamaica in 98. They won like 5-0, but he absolutely smashed them in. Yeah. And he's the there's only four players that have ever scored hat-tricks in two World Cups, and you're right, he got one in 94 as well against Greece, I believe.
Yeah.
But his goal scoring record was phenomenal, and just as a man leading the line, he was absolutely astonishing. He actually got relegated at Fiorentina as well and stayed with them, scored the goals to get him back up as well. So, and the clip that I'm putting on the YouTube clip that's going to be on the website, it's got the final countdown as the music, so work for that.
Just a bit of hair metal.
Yeah.
Cool.
I knew you'd like that, Stu.
Can I ask you one question?
Yeah.
And just in one sentence, tell me why he should get in a team above Diego Maradona, his countryman.
Because he'd be better than him. He was an all-round forward.
Okay. Stuart Hall.
I can't believe I've just said that.
The guy I'm picking in 2010 was voted gold.com player of the decade with 43.63% of the vote.
Patrick,
I'm going
Clive,
for...
Hang on, he's put 46.3, he's done it to a decimal point. Wikipedia is a... Oh,
it's to be fair,
it's almost perfect, isn't it?
If he'd only got 46.1, I wouldn't have voted.
Yeah, it's the is point that extra, 2 that is actually going to make me consider voting.
Okay,
for,
who
for
is it?
Counts, isn't it? I'm going for Ronaldo.
Which one?
The Ronaldo that I played for recently. And it's a legend. That was a ridiculous question on lots of fronts.
Bear in mind who's nominated.
The real okay, bear
I'm
in
just,
mind.
Jesus.
I'm waiting for him to say...
I don't even want to say anything else.
He was great at Barcelona. He was great at Man United. He was great for Brazil and Portugal.
Well, I say legend. He's got one more game coming up.
Sorry?
One more game coming up on the 7th of June this year.
Oh, let's get one for him. FA Trophy.
It's a farewell match. It's Romania.
Along with Festina.
Brazil versus Romania.
Oh, yeah.
Why Romania?
Fuck knows.
But they're the only team that...
I think Georgie Hadji's playing as well.
When you think Ronaldo, you think Romania.
Gica Popescu.
I just think goals. On top of that, he owns the Brazilian team in the A1 racing.
It's cool.
Oh, so that's the reason to pick him in the podcast.
Because I was going to pick him.
It means we go racing as well.
When I think Fat Ronaldo, I think...
Stop calling him Fat Ronaldo.
Brazilian Ronaldo.
Okay, Brazilian Ronaldo.
Ronaldo who was in The Simpsons.
Just Ronaldo.
Then I always picture, you know, a taxi.
I always...
Because he's vasectomy.
No.
Hang on a minute, everyone stop. Talk us through this thinking process.
I like the fact that as soon as Dan said that, it went completely silent and Travis started up right at the right moment. What are you talking about?
He picked up a couple of young ladies to take him home.
Transvestites?
Allegedly.
That's why I just said taxi.
Young ladies in the loosest ladies. Sense of the word.
In the loosest sense.
Okay, now we've had that explanation, can we have an explanation from Stuart Orr?
Taxi.
This year he closed the factory and had a vasectomy. No more kids for Ronaldo.
He closed
the factory.
Okay.
Oh, right, okay.
I thought you meant he closed the factory.
Stu, can you in
no more dog food production here? Also, I have a vasectomy.
Yeah. He's German as well. Yeah. Jesus Christ, what's happening?
He's bilingual. Right, listen, Stu. Right, we know he's had the snip.
Yep.
Right.
He owns the Formula One.
We
team.
Know he owns an A1 GP team.
Everyone knows he's got a fuckload of goals.
Right, okay.
I'll be back for test move on, Dad.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had enough. It's all in the blog.
Yeah. Which you haven't written yet, no.
I've done mine. Right, somebody's written it on Wikipedia for me.
Right, okay. We'll move on to Dan. Dan. I think Dan's got a bit of a podcast first for us.
Right, let's be quite simple and let's be honest. My fellow podcasters are a bunch of absolute numpties.
Love you.
Specifically, Jim Staples. Because Battistuta is possibly the worst choice in the whole
Kevin
team.
Gallen,
other than Gary Neville, obviously. You've got
obviously, minus Stevie Bull. No, it's Battistuta. Shocking. This basically it's such a bad.
Hang on. Why is it? What was he? Not a good striker.
Not in the what we're talking about. The legends that we're talking.
He was
about.
A legend.
No, he was not. He was barely passable at the time. Let alone now.
That's just nonsense.
When you're talking about Diego,
Dan. Anyway, give him a name.
So bad, I've had to pick two players just to cover you.
He's not picking two players.
You're shocking this.
Well, let me tell you what.
I have two players. No,
two players I pick.
Is he picking Chris and Bart Williams?
Oh, Pele and Eusebio.
It's hard to argue against everybody.
How can
okay,
you leave
why can
them
have
them
two?
Hold on a minute. Have they got players if they were doing a three-legged race in this
no,
team?
Pretty much. Pele, the greatest player ever played the game.
Boy.
Some say arguably, but he didn't have a big outside interest habit. And, well, he really was much better than Gabriel Batistuta. And then Eusebio, for me, brought speed, power, skill to football when it was the 60s. No one really knew what speed, power and football was.
They used to win 10-0 everywhere.
Nobody knew what football was.
No, no one knew what that
was. What is this game?
That's Ronaldo with a German accent.
No, no, you've gone back to the German. So that's it, that's me. I don't give, that's all, it's all in the blog.
There we go.
Right. So we've got some nominees there.
An unprecedented 6 points.
Yeah, so plenty for you to choose from. The vote and a blog. He's giving himself twice the work. So we'll have plenty of blogs, YouTubes.
I'll get Simon to write it.
Up on the website.
Just write one generic one so it can be name. Was a brilliant footballer.
Yeah. Sounded like Stuart.
That's pretty much how he does his every week. And then I edit it for him.
No one's complaining.
Right, let's kick on.
That's not what Charlotte says.
Let's kick on with... Another world class centre forward is who are you, Jim?
Yeah, Gerd Müller.
Love it. We missed him out as well, but it's unfortunate. Unfortunately,
he's German. Picks, he'd have been my second.
He's German. Der Bomber.
I don't reckon there'd be any English nominations if we were all German sitting around a table here. Born November the 3rd, 1945. Go on.
No. Sorry, I was just. That's the day after me.
Oh, really? What? 1945.
Yeah. Blimey, Daniel, you're older good than you look, mate.
Yeah.
You're terrible for your age.
When he was signed by Bayern from some sort of naught-like numpty team, it was an insistence of their president. The coach wasn't too happy. The coach said, "I can't put that little elephant in along with my string of thoroughbreds."
Elephant.
He called him a little elephant. He went on to score 600 goals, including 365 in the Bundesliga. I don't know what the coach went on to do, but probably not that
not
much.
A lot, I'd
no,
imagine.
Absolutely.
Can we do a "You Are You" on that coach?
He's managing Aston Villa now, isn't he?
Shot Bayern to their first trophy in 1966, 4-2 victory in the West German Cup, which sounds a little bit like the Kent Senior Cup. It sounds
yeah,
a little
but
bit
back
shit.
Back then, it did actually count.
Yeah, it actually meant something. Also made his national team debut in '66, and he actually scored 68 goals in 62 internationals. So he could have got a vote for us, couldn't he? Really?
To be fair, you should have done him instead of Batistuta.
Yeah. No. What was it you called him?
Der Bomber.
Which is probably got sort of war undertones and stuff like that. But
very funny, isn't it?
It's not particularly. War's never funny.
No, war's never funny.
Unless you're the headline writer of The Sun. Yeah. It seems to think it's hilarious.
Or Stan Bob.
Top Gun reference, wasn't it?
Top Gun. No, was it Top Gun's one? No, was it Top? No, Top Dog's one. Mad Dog's Nell or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, nicely said.
Yeah, something like that.
Top. Was it Top?
It's all in the delivery.
Something to do with Top.
It's all in the delivery.
In 1967, he won the European Cup Winners' Cup with an extra time win over. Anyone know? It's Rangers.
Rangers.
Brazil's a great shout. 1970 was when he was an absolute sensation at the World Cup. Scored 10 goals.
Yeah.
Including a couple of really decent ones against Italy in the semi-final, I think, as well.
Yeah, which they lost.
European Footballer of the Year in 1970. 1974, retired from the national team after scoring the goal which won the World Cup final against Holland.
Yes.
And in the same year, he also won the European Champions Cup with Bayern Munich, scoring the winning goal in that as well. So 74 wasn't a bad year for the bloke.
Reminds me of Zidane when he retired after butting that Italian.
Yeah, I don't think he headbutted anyone. He just was a very good footballer.
I think I was going to say he's won the World Cup for his team. It doesn't really remind me of Zidane headbutting someone and losing it at all.
But anyway,
back in your box.
It was a World Cup final,
yeah. Became a double champion as Bayern defeated Cruzeiro of Brazil in 1976 and then retired in 1995. No, actually, sorry, that's when he returned to Germany.
He returned, yes, because he went to America and played in the States.
Good knowledge, Dan Fernandes. Yeah,
and then he had a massive, massive drink problem, and then they called him back to Bayern. And like,
did he have a drink problem? I never would have known that.
It doesn't say that in the football facts book. You'd
Beckenbauer and all that, they brought him back and then gave him a job in the club, and now he's like, what, he's good as gold.
Working in a bar.
Serving it rather than drinking it. No, yeah, and he's now like a youth team coach or something.
Yeah. He went to the North American Soccer League, came back in 1995, and he's still around now.
He's a proper legend.
Yeah, he scored some good old goals.
He's a good player.
I love him in
music. All right. That's a good one. That adopted team's time now. Northwich Vicks, Mike, how they getting?
Hey, it's been a bad week for the Vicks.
Has it? This is where the show takes a bit of a dark turn.
Midweek, beaten by Chase Town 1-0.
Right.
And then at the weekend, beaten at home 1-0 by Stocksbridge Park Steels, the mighty Stocksbridge
Park Steels. Stocksbridge Park Steels?
Big club, so okay. No shame
it's
in
it. It's a hard place to go.
Yeah. Well, we were at home.
It's a hard place to play against.
So they've dropped to 11th in the league, now 7 points off the playoffs with only 9 games to go. Promotion's looking a big ass.
It's a toughie.
It's a disappointment.
It's a shame, isn't it?
Cool. It could be worse.
The big hope would be that maybe Witton Albion can sneak up so we can have a derby game next season.
Right, okay. Well, look, they're having a bit of a topsy-turvy season. It could be worse. You could be my team. You could be Peterhead. They remain bottom.
Strictly cup side, aren't they?
Yeah, they're concentrating on the cups. Unfortunately, they're out of them all now. They're bottom of Scottish Second Division after losing 2-1 at home to second place Ayr. Ayr went 2-0 up, and only a late penalty from Dennis Wyness gave them a bit of hope, but it was just a consolation. Now, here's the situation for them. They're 8 points from safety, and they're 2 points from the relegation playoff spot, which is currently occupied by Stenhouse Muir, who they play at home this Tuesday. So they've got a massive relegation.
Big game.
This Tuesday.
Is that on Sky or ESPN?
It might be on ALBA or whatever they have up in Scotland. I don't know, but it's not on. Scandalously omitted from the TV schedule.
That's a shame, isn't it?
And then on Saturday, they take on 8th place Alloa. So they've got their 10th, they've got 9th place Tuesday, 8th place on Saturday. They need to win both those games, really. So best of luck to Neil Cooper and the boys for that. They're in big trouble. So we could do with a couple of wins. That's the adopted teams this week. It's Pub Ammo and Mr. Cox.
It's the return of the Pubcast World Cup.
Hooray!
A great success last time.
Last time, James.
Last time,
Jim brought along Jonathan Woodgate. Simon didn't really do anything wrong. Stu was Stu.
Dan turned up for a minute.
So I'm surprised you remember, mate.
I went home at 7:30, but we had a few people turn up. It was a good night.
We did record something, but it was just totally unpublishable.
So we did have a
mini tournament, kind of like an Intercontinental Cup equivalent, if you like.
It's like Le Tournoi.
At least we had standards. Yeah. I like that. We did something, but it was unpublishable. ITV2, most of their content's unpublishable, but they still do it.
ITV2? Yeah. ITV1's coverage shouldn't be broadcastable, but yet they still bloody do it.
And theirs come down with
they put that fat muppet on there every bloody football game and in the morning. What a
Fern
Britton? No, Adrian, my best mate Charles.
It'd be good if Fern Britton did present the football.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. But no, so this week we've got first round, England versus Australia.
Ireland v Australia. Okay.
So Australia is represented by Foster's, which isn't really Australian at all. I'd much rather have some VB or some 2Es.
Yeah.
We all sort of know what it tastes like, so... very nice.
What are you pretending very to drink nice. For?
Well, you've got to make
ridiculous.
It
ridiculous.
He's finished
well,
it. He has had that.
I've pint guzzled it down.
I've drunk it before. That's
that was
good
a
enough.
Pint he drank earlier.
And it's going up against Guinness.
Yes.
Which did very well when we recorded the initial.
It's not foul. It's lovely.
We all know what they taste like, guys. Who gets your vote?
Guinness, Foster's. Oh, it's on you, Coxon.
Don't be a dick, Mike.
I'm going to be honest, the one that I drink more is Foster's.
Yeah!
I can't believe it.
Don't be silly, mate. It's a mug's drink.
Guinness is lovely.
Guinness won our pre-World Cup.
We've got to make it a bit controversial, though.
I can't believe Guinness is out in the first round. I'm not
there we go.
We've got some stats
I'm
about
going.
No, post them.
Bye.
Australia and Ireland. I'm going to write a blog about Australia and Ireland.
Right.
Bit of information on the two countries.
Profile the beer.
There we go.
Alright, okay. Who's not coming to dinner this week? It's time for Dan with Come Down With Me.
Not that I've not been aggressive already this lunchtime, but it's quite simple. It's Steve Bruce.
Bruce?
Steve Bruce. The reason why it's Steve Bruce is because he's actually contradicting himself within a week. Last week... Sunderland got a little bit lucky, controversial decisions. And when asked about it after the game, basically just said
it's
one of those things that happen. You know, the old allergies. It all
works evens up at the end of the season. Yeah. Like
this
my
week,
face.
they were a penalty against them. So a penalty for Liverpool.
It was just outside the box.
But when I first saw it, I instantly said penalty.
Yeah.
And I believe that Stan Collymore on Talksport went mad and penalty, then watched the replay and went, oh no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Again, the referee only gets one option at it. It was a mistake, but it wasn't that big. And he actually, he's basically come out and destroyed the ref. It's a terrible decision.
Who brought down for penalty? Does anyone know?
It was John Mensah.
And again, that's the other thing. Mensah was only in the team because the beach ball failed a late fitness test. So
yes, right. But
and he then got sent off, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But
not very clever from Mensah.
No, the other thing that I wanted to
yes, definitely having that.
The other thing, the other reason why it's Steve Bruce as well is because instead of actually berating the referee for a decision or a mistake, he should more berate his own player for the mistake he made, which actually made him make the tackle, which gave away the penalty, which wasn't. Yeah. So mine is Steve Bruce because you can't have it both ways.
Yeah, no, very good shout.
Mug.
It is class and arse, and for the first time in weeks, it's my turn. Class of the week is Arsene Wenger.
Oh, no.
And I'll tell you why.
No, listen,
he spotted a problem, right? He's recognised he needed to sort the goalkeeper situation. He signed Jens Lehmann. My arse of the week is Arsene Wenger. Having signed Jens Lehmann, he didn't bloody pick him. He left Almunia in the team. He cost them the game and probably cost them the title as well.
He won't because he's not playing in the next game.
Who?
Lehmann's going to be in then.
Doesn't matter. They dropped some points.
I don't care who is in that goal. It just can't be Almunia.
Yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is,
no,
they should have won that game.
Should have played it.
They should have won that game, and they didn't.
No,
they've conceded 2 points to United, who have ground out yet another result.
I did like watching Van Persie score with a tackle though.
It was like FIFA.
He's just like FIFA. He's just slide tackled that ball
and gone in. So Arsene Wenger class of the week. And then immediately after Arsene Wenger, Arse of the Week. Email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Twitter is @footballpodcast, @DanFerdinand.
Dan doesn't Staples. Agree with the class.
Well,
I'm not saying you're wrong, I just said
I know.
But I see what you've gone there, don't you?
@DanFerdinand, @JimStaples, @MichaelCoxon, @SimonHead, @Stu_TheManager. We're on Facebook, The Football Podcast, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. And the final word is from, would be from Mike, but he's had to leave. So, Jim?
No word in the English language rhymes with month.
That is very true.
What?
No word.
Okay then.
No. I'm not saying it's wrong. I just
rhymes with month.
I love it.
There you go.
Okay.
Every day's a school day.
Every day's a school day. Let's go home at 3 o'clock.
Whee! See you later.